Today's daf is daf lamed vav. So let's take it six lines down. The Gemara says Tanya Rabbanan, quotes a brisa here, and the Gemara says Yachal yotzei adam yidei chavasa b'maiser sheni b'yushlaim. So we've been talking about the mitzvah of eating matzah, which minim work. So now the Gemara wants to know about different types of special cases. So let's say a person wants to use maiser sheni. The din of maiser sheni is after you've taken truma and given maiser rishon. The next thing the farmer separates is maiser sheni. And maiser sheni is when you take the food, the fruit, the grains, and you are only allowed to eat it within Yerushalayim. So can a person be yotzei with matzah of maiser sheni in Yerushalayim? And the Gemara says, Tam lomar lechem oni, ma shenechal ba'aninis, yatazer, shenu nechal ba'aninis, ela besimcha, divrei, Rabbi Yosef Glili. Since it calls matzah lechem oni, we're going to switch the ayin with an aleph, oni, lashon aninis. So you're only allowed to have a matzah, that which a person can eat in the state of aninus. But maaser sheni cannot be eaten when a person's in onin. He has to be in the state of a simcha. The pasuk says, lo achalti ba'oni mimene, when a person does what's called vidui maaser. When he brings maaser sheni, he has to testify that they did everything correctly. One of the things he's not allowed to do is, lo achalti ba'oni mimene, I didn't eat it while in aninus. So since you cannot eat maaser sheni ba'aninus, it's not allowed to be used for lechem oni, for matzah. Comes along Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, Omer, different reason. It says matzos riba. Matzos is plural, meaning there are multiple types of matzos one can be yotzei. That's very inclusive. So imkain, matam lamar lechem oni. So now the Rabbi Akiva thinks that matzos includes, even maaser sheni can work, can be yotzei through matzah. So what does he do with the word lechem oni? Matam lamar lechem oni. Probably isa shenilosha b'yayin v'shemen v'dvash. To exclude a bread or a matzah that was kneaded with either wine, oil, or honey. So why? Because lechem oni, lashon ani. He's learning as ani, as someone who's poor, not as an oni, as aninus. So poor bread as opposed to, these are matzah ashira. When you mix together wine or oil or honey in the bread, it's called lechem ashira. That's why it's possible he has to be lechem ani, not lechem oni, but lechem ani. So that's the machlokas. So again, Rabbi Yosef Glili learns lechem oni, the way it's read, and Rabbi Kiva darshan's lechem ani, the way it's ksiv, the way it's written. Fine.
What does that have to do with maaser sheni, according to Rabbi Kiva?
Nothing. There's no way to exclude it. There's nothing to exclude it from. Therefore, it's included. So what? And therefore, but maaser sheni, it's just something that doesn't, since lechem oni is something that has to be, can be eaten, that a person who's in aninus can normally eat matzah, so maaser sheni cannot be eaten by an onin on a regular day, so therefore it's possible, it's not called lechem oni. Even though the state of aninus, the person might be putter at the time.
But regular stuff can't be eaten.
No, on a regular Sunday, today, an onin could eat matzah, but an onin cannot eat maaser sheni.
That's
So then the Gemara says, my time at Rabbi Kiva, what's the reason for Rabbi Kiva that he says, lechem ani, tiksu lechem ashira, but he would therefore include maaser sheni. So he said, miksiv, does it write lechem oni? Ani, ksiv, it's written as ani, there's no vav there, it's ani, and therefore lechem ani is included, lechem ashira is excluded. Rabbi Yosef Glili, min mi karina and ani, do we call it, do we read it as ani? Oni karina, and we go based on the kri, which is oni, which is lashon of aninus of an oni. So Rabbi Kiva, hide the karina be oni. So if really Rabbi Kiva darshan's the way it's written as oni, so what does he do with the way it's read as oni? Kiddush Shmuel. Damar Shmuel, lechem oni. What's lechem oni? Not lashon aninus. We don't switch the ayin with an aleph, but rather lechem she'onin alav dvarm harbe. A lechem about which we say a lot. What do we say a lot about? Rashi says here, she'onin alav dvarm, she'gomrim alav es ha'halel, v'omrim alav ha'gada. We say the halel, we say ha'gada while the matzah is exposed. We're saying many things over the matzah all night long. That's Rashi pshat. Rabbi Nachman argues, and he says it's talking about when they say in the line of the Haggadah, which is crucial for being yotzei the mitzvah, matzazu shanu ochlan al shumma. That's the point Rabbi Nachman thinks he's referring to. But either way, it has to do with some type of dvarim she'onim alav dvarim harber. Now, there's some proof from this Rashi. There's a big machlokish we showed him whether halel is a mitzvah d'araisa or is it mitzvah midrabanan. So, since Rashi here is saying lechem oni and the pasuk is referring to halel, so that implies halel is a mitzvah d'araisa. Others say no. Halel is only a mitzvah d'rabanan, but the Chachamim placed it here in this pasuk. It was open for interpretation, but still it can be a mitzvah midrabanan, even according to Rashi's understanding. Okay, the Gemara now continues and says, V'savar Rabbi Akiva Isa Shenilosha B'yayin V'shemen V'dvash Lo. Is it true that Rabbi Akiva does not think you're allowed to be yotzei matzah with matzah that's been kneaded with either wine, oil, or honey, meaning matzah shir is pasul? V'atani, doesn't the Braisa say, Ein lashin isa bepesach v'yayin v'shemen v'dvash. One should not need matzah with any of these types of liquids, may mashkin vim lush. If you do, need it with oil, honey, or wine. Rebbe Gamliel omer tisarif miyad. If they burn it right away, that's chametz. The chachamim omer yochel, you're allowed to eat it. Vamer Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva comes along and says, Shafti hayisa eitzah Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Yeshua. One time, I was having Pesach by these two rabbanim. V'lashti lahem isa b'yayin v'shem v'dvash. I made bread for them, mixed with wine, oil, or honey. Below Amru Li Davar, they didn't say a thing to me. So clearly, Rabbi Kiva allowed a person to be yotzei the mitzvah with matzah ashira. V'yafa pishein lashin mekatfin bo. Now this line is at a place the Gemara points out. And even though you're not allowed to be lashin, you can't knead it. Mekatfin bo, you're allowed to mekatfin, which you could rub on the outside of the dough with oil or wine or honey. That's allowed. And the Gemara points out asin latanakama. That goes back to the Tanakama. Tanakama says you can't knead. The Tanakama agrees you're allowed to rub on the outside of the dough as long as you don't knead it. With these liquids, that's fine. And then Chachamim Omrim es shaloshin bo mekatfin bo vesh shein lashin bo im mekatfin bo. You don't distinguish. If you're allowed to mix it and knead it with wine, oil, and honey, then you're allowed to rub the outside of it. And if you're not allowed to knead it, so they think you shouldn't be able to rub the outside either. Okay, that's a side point. Veshavim, but they both agree shein lashin es ha'isa befoshin potion. You can't use warm water to knead. Even if you're using water, water is the best, according to everybody, but warm water is not allowed because warm water causes it to turn to chametz quicker. But our point here is that Rabbi Kiva clearly, he allowed one to use matzah mixed together, kneaded with yayin, shemen, v'dvash. But before we said, matzah sheni losha b'yayin v'shemen v'dvash is pasul for matzah, according to Rabbi Kiva. So the Gemara answers, lo kasha, ha b'yamtav rishon, ha b'yamtav shevi, sheni. The first night, you can't use matzah shira. But the second night, you're allowed to use matzah shira. There's actually a machlokas, whether or not matzah shira is simply pasul for the mitzvah, but you could still eat it. You just can't be yotzei to the mitzvah, while others say it's actually usur to eat the first night. That's a machlokas in the Rishonim. Either way, you should certainly not use matzah shira the first night, but the second night, you're allowed to, according to Rabbi Akiva. How do we know? Kedamar le Rabbi Yeshua le b'nei, Rabbi Yeshua told his children, Yom HaKama one day, Yom HaKama the first day rather, Lo Talusha li b'chalva, you don't knead together the dough, the wheat with milk in the day one of Pesach, Mikan ve'elach, from here on, Lushi li b'chalva, you're allowed to. So there's a certain chumrah the first night, because you have to have matzah, since the matzah is mitzvah the first night, you shouldn't have it with matzah shira, it has to be dachtiko lechem oni, but the other nights, the other days you're allowed to have, that's how we reconcile the steer. So Gemara asks the question. V'hatani, doesn't the Braisa teach us? Ain lashin es ha'isa b'chalav. We learned a couple of days ago. You're not allowed to knead with milk. How come Rabbi Yeshua told the children don't knead the first night with the milk, but the rest of the days you can have milk? But there's a problem with having a dough made from milk or made from meat. Vim lash kolapas asura mipnei hergaver. If you make dough from milk or from fleishiks, it's asur. So how could Rabbi Yeshua tell children to mix the dough with milk? So elahachi kamar. This is what he meant to say. Yom kama lo talushli bedovsha. He was referring to honey, really, not milk. The first day, don't mix my matzah with honey. And then, mikan ve'elach, the rest of the days of Pesach, lushili b'duvsha, you're allowed to mix together with honey, but ein hachanami, it's aser to mix dough with bread with honey, with milk. V'ibay, same alternatively, and this is a very important distinction, li'olam b'chalva, really, you are allowed to mix dough with milk. B'kadama ravina, ke'ein Torah shari hachanami ke'ein Torah. If it's made ke'ein Torah, what does ke'ein Torah mean? So this is a big machlokas Rashi versus the Rif. Rashi says, if you look at Rashi halfway down the Amud here, ke'ein Torah me'at ke'ayin shel shur, like the eye of an ox, a very small amount of dough is allowed, made from milk. Mutar lalush b'chalav, that's allowed. De'achalei miyad b'basachas, it's so small, you eat it right away. V'lo mashilei delinshe shenulush b'chalav, a person won't forget, if you make a big batch of dough, so you're not going to eat it in one sitting, you're going to have some leftovers in the cabinet, in the freezer, you're going to take it out once, have it with your, I don't know, pastrami, and that's a problem. But you ate, if you make a small amount, whereby you can finish it in that sitting, that's allowed according to Rashi. Now the Rif says, which seems to be Pashup Shadi, the Gemara, Ke'ein Torah is not Ke'ayin, like an eye of an ox, but it's shaped like a shur, shaped like an ox. What it means, if you make a strange shape, then you realize, wait a second, this is not a regular par of dough. This is shaped like a star, like a triangle. That's not normal. That's going to be a hecker for a person not to have it with fleishik. So these two atarim are brought down in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Tzad Zayin in Yerodeya, that either you could have a small amount of bread that you'll finish, or a strange shape that will remind you of this. Those are the two dinim. So the big shah that comes up, halach lamaisa, English muffins, which are dairy, so it's a big shayla. How is that allowed? It certainly doesn't come in small packages. They come with, I think, six, if I recall. People don't eat that in one sitting. Hey, you have a family size oath, and maybe you could eat it all together, but typically that's not meant to be eaten in one sitting. And in terms of the shape, it's not a different shape. You have English muffins that are parv, and English muffins that are dairy, so that doesn't help either. So maybe you're going to suggest it says O-U-D, so that's the reminder. So Pesach Shuvah actually says to have an announcement, to have some type of sign, that doesn't work because a person might not see the sign. He may not know that's O-U-D. So therefore, what's the heter for having English muffins that are dairy? So the O-U, what they write is actually that it's not a question of, it's not really dairy bread. A small amount, a tiny amount of milk is put in there. It's batel b'shishim. There's a big shaila whether you can be mevatel something in shishim that's not really usser. Usually you might need a clash of two things to be mevatel, cholent and milk. But milk into pariv, there's no clash. But some posts can hold, you could still be mevatel a davar heter. So since a small amount of milk is in the dough, it's less than shishim, therefore it's batel, and even though it calls it O-U-D, it's really not O-U-D, and that's the heter they say, how you're allowed to give it O-U-D. Okay, either way, interesting discussion about dairy bread. What?
So you can have it with pastrami.
You can't, because there's some dairy, and it's like dairy equipment, in essence. It'll be similar to that. So then the Gemara says, two wide lines down and the two dots.
But you could have pastrami right afterwards.
Yeah. So then, to the in general, if you have milk, I mean, you got to have this
after.
I'm not sure. You have to ask. I'm not sure, actually. I don't know. Dairy equipment, yes. I don't know
dairy
if the,
yes,
but this might be different. I don't know. So then the Gemara says, two wide lines down, v'shavin, shein lashin esa isa before potion. You're not allowed to knead dough with warm water because, as we said earlier, that's going to cause it to be turn to chametz much quicker than cold water. So maishna. Menachos. Why is this different from Menachos, where we do allow them to knead the Menachos? Now, in the Menachos, most of the doughs in the Beis Mikdash were actually matzah, not bread. We don't want it to turn into chametz. So, Tanan, kol Menachos, niloshos beposhin. You're allowed to use warm water, and actually, they were all used with warm water in kneading the matzah in the Beis Mikdash. Umishtamrin, shol yichamsu. They actually watched it to make sure it wouldn't turn into chametz, it wouldn't rise. So, how is that allowed? So, how come the Beis Mikdash we allow you to use potion, but by the Hamunam, by Matzah and Erev Pesach, we don't allow you to. So im amru bezrizim, yomru b'shein drizim. Granted, we allow people in the Beis Hamikdash, the Kohanim work there, it's a place that everyone is Zar is there, so they know how to be careful. The potion, perhaps the time frame is much shorter than cold water, but they're very Zar is there, so we know it won't turn into chametz. But to allow the Hamunam, the rest of the world, where not everyone is Zar is, that's a dangerous thing. So they made a gzera against potion in every person's household, but in the Beis Hamikdash, they allowed for it. Ihachi, that's the case. So if we assume that Beis Hamikdash is a makom zrizin, so then we should also allow Ihachi miltas nami losis. What does that mean? So Rashi explained to us. He explains. Was that Rashi? A lisisa is lashun b'mayim ma'at. They used to take the wheat and soak it in water a little bit. Ulakoshon, and then they'd machteshes. They'd kind of crush it, grind it. Lahasi b'mor sinan to remove it from all the shells on the outside of the grains, the kernels of the wheat. Kadeshate sultan nikia. It's a much cleaner way to remove any of the excess of the flour. They first soak it, and then they crush it. It's part of the process. So they used to do this, but they would not allow one to do this in the Beis Hamikdash for Menachos. Why not? If we're not concerned, b'makom zrizin, let them soak it in the water, let them crush it, and then it should be fine. Alama Amar Rabbi Zeir, why does Rabbi Zeir teach us? Amar Rabba Bar Yirmia, Amar Shmuel, Chitin Shem Menachos Ein Losisinosa. You're not allowed to do it. So the Gemara explains as follows. Lisha bizrizin isa, lisisa lesa bizrizin. Lisha took place in the Beis Hamikdash. That was the Kohanim were doing Zrizim. The Lasisa took place at home. When I would bring my flour, I would first do Lasisa at home and grind it and crush it and do everything, then bring it. Since the Lasisa was done at home, even though it might be brought as a mincha for myself, in the end of the day it was done at home, and that's why it's not allowed, as opposed to the Lisha, which took place in the Beis Hamikdash, B'makom Zrizim, with Zrizim, that's why the potion would be allowed, not the Lasisa. So then the Gemara says, "Velisha miisa bezrizin." Is it really true that the kneading took place by zrizim? We assume that Kohanim are zrizim. Anybody else is not a zaris. So Lisha was not done by a kohen. It didn't have to be done by a kohen. Velisha miisa bezrizin. Actually, the pasuk says, "V'yotzek aleh shemen." The pasuk goes on to say, which is the key line here. Finally, on the side here, one second. "V'yotzek aleh shemen v'nasan aleh levona v'avia el bnei Aaron haKohanim." So the Gemara darshins as follows: Heviel a kohen mikimitza ve'elach mitzvah kuna li made al yitzika ubalila shekshir bechal adam. So the din is we only invoke the kohen in the pasuk once it comes to the kmita that the heviel a kohen heviel bnei Aaron a kohanim ve'komas and he has to do kmita. But prior to kmita, a zar could do that process. So in terms of the lisha, the kneading, and everything else, a zar could do this. So the lisha is not being done by the kohen; it's being done by a regular zar like myself. So we see that it's not being done by Zrizim. So Gemara says, granted, nihid bezrizim lesayin, but bimakom zrizim isa, granted, that the individuals performing lisha are not zariz, but it's done in the base of Migdash, which is a makom zariz. When you're in the base of Migdash, when you're in a base knesses, we act differently than we're at home. At home, okay, no one's watching what I'm doing. In the shul, in the base of Migdash, no less, they were much more careful. The fact that it's a makom zrizis is going to make me much more careful. So that's why it's acceptable to do lisha with poshim, as opposed to lisisa, which was not in a makom zrizim. Damar, Gemara says, Damar mar, belaila, ksheira, belila, the mixing of the oil, ksheira bazar, a zar is allowed to do this. Chutz lechoma, if he does, belila, ksheira bazar. But if it's done chutz lechoma, say, as azara, psula. But if it's done outside the azara, outside the base of Migdash, it's possible. Why? Because only b'makom zuzim is it acceptable, but chutz l'makom zuzim, outside the azara, outside the base of Migdash, it's unacceptable. There's all lafuke tuxku l'sisa, d'eino b'zuzim, v'lo b'makom zuzim. That l'sisa is not done by zuzim, nor is it done in a place of zuzim, and that's why we don't accept l'sisa to be performed on the menachos. So now the Gemara wants to know, u'mayshna mi minchas ha'omer. How come Minchas Omer, if we just established that Lasisa is not allowed, we'll see in just a moment, by Minchas Omer, we do allow Lasisa. So, Maishnami Minchas Omer, the Tanya, Minchas Omer, Losisin Oso, Vitsovin Oso, that they would actually prepare the wheat, they'd soak it in water first, then they'd crush it, and then they had piles of it. Why would that be acceptable if it's taking place outside the base of Migdash? And the Gemara answers, Tzibor Shiny. The case of a Tzibor is different. Why is it different? Rashi writes, first wide line down here, Tzibor Shiny. Minchas Omer carbon tzibur. The Minchas Omer is a carbon tzibur. The chol askin shalah nasan al pi bezin. Bezin is watching over everything. So even though it's not in makom zrizin, but being done or at least observed by makom people who are zariz, and therefore even lasisa would be acceptable by the carbon tzibur, by the carbon, the Minchas Omer. Gemara now says last five lines of the Amud here as follows. Tanur Rabbanam, Yachal Yotze Adam Yidei Chavasa Bebikurim. One might think he could be Yotze, his mitzvah, matzah, Bikurim. The way Bikurim works is, Bikurim applies to the Shivas Aminim only, the first of the first fruits that grow that season of the Shivas Aminim. So we know two of the Shivas Aminim are barley and oat, wheat and barley, that one could use for matzah. So let's say you have wheat or barley from Bikurim, can one use that for matzah? Matzah, Bikurim. So Gemara's. Cohen, yep. So the Gemara says, Yachal Yotze Adam Yidei Chavasa Bebikurim. One might think he could be Yotze his matzah Bikurim. Tamil Lomar, Bechol Moshvo Seichem Tochlu Matzos. Has to be something that can be eaten anywhere. Matzah Nechels Bechol Moshvo Seichem Yotze Bikurim Shei Nechel and Bechol Moshvo Seichem. Ela Vushalayim Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. The din is Bikurim may only be eaten, as Ricky said, by a Kohen, but also in Yushalayim. So since it's limited, the Pasuk says matzah should be eaten b'chol moshu seichem, and the kurm may not be eaten b'chol moshu seichem. For that reason, it's disqualified from being used to be fulfilling your mitzvah of matzah. Comes along Rabbi Akiva, last two lines of the Amud here. Rabbi Akiva Omer, matzah u'marur. Ma marur sheino bikurim af matzah sheino bikurim. Just like marur, the minim, we'll see in a mishnah later on, daf mem or so, that what satisfies the requirement of the mitzvah of marur, it's the daf lamites, so it has to be vegetables. So vegetables certainly do not come from Bikurim. So just like Marur is not from Bikurim, so too matzah can't be from Bikurim either. So Gemara takes it one step further as this question now. I mean, that's the drasha according to Rabbi Kiva. Marur is not Bikurim, it cannot be Bikurim, so too matzah is not allowed to be Bikurim. So ima Marur shein bimino Bikurim, af matzah shein bimino Bikurim. So just like any of the species that are going to satisfy the requirement of Marur cannot be used for Bikurim, vegetables, lettuce, and whatnot, but maybe matzah should only be used from items that cannot be halachically used as bikurim. In other words, wheat and barley should not be used for matzah. Just like all the species that are all the minim for marur cannot become bikurim, so too maybe the only species that can be used for matzah should be things that cannot become bikurim. Knock out wheat, knock out barley, which can be bikurim, and only use spelt and oats. And what's one missing here? And not millet, no. Spelt, oat, and rye. There you go, rye. Only those fish should be used for matzah, but not barley or wheat. So Gemara says, no. Otzi chitin v'seorin. Let's exclude wheat and barley. Sheyesh b'minim bikurim. They can be used as bikurim. So Gemara says, no. Tamalomer, matos riba. The word matos comes to include more cases. So we include all types of minim work for matzah, but if it's actual bikurim, if the wheat and barley is actual bikurim, then we say it's not allowed, just like murah cannot become bikurim. So then the Gemara says, matzahs riba. If we're coming to say that the word matzahs comes to include more cases of matzahs satisfying our mitzvah, afilu bikurim nami. So then maybe even bikurim. Why draw the line here? is taking a step further, that even if it's lamaisa, barley or wheat of bikurim, let it satisfy the mitzvah of matzah. So Gemara says, you're right. Hadar bei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva retracted. He did not like his initial statement, his initial drasha of darshaning, equating maror and matzah. Rather, he's going to fall back to Rabbi Yossi Laglili's understanding of Bechol Moshe Osechem. How do we see he retracted? So we're going to go through a few lines here. Halfway down the Amud, we're going to see his full retraction. So the Gemara says, the Tanya, Yachal Yatza Adam Yidei Chavasa Bikurim. One might have thought you could be Yotze, the mitzvah matzah, if it comes from Bikurim. Tamalomer Bechol Moshe Osechem, Tochle Matzos. Mata necheles b'chol moshvos, yatsu bikurim m'sheino necheles b'chol moshvos, has to be a type of a bread or matzah that can be eaten anywhere to the exclusion of bikurim el b'yushalayim, that can only be eaten in Yushalayim. So yachal shani motzi af ma'isa sheni, so then maybe ma'isa sheni as well. Ma'isa sheni is the same, that it can only be eaten in Yushalayim, so maybe that shouldn't work either. Tamalomer, matas matas riba, the plural of matzahs comes to include that you can eat ma'isa sheni, but you cannot eat bikurim. So then the Gemara says, Mayra Isa, the Rabbos Maisa Sheni, Ulhotzi Bikurim. Why are we coming to say matzos comes to include Maisa Sheni, and the word Bechol Moshe Sechem comes to exclude Bikurim? Let's say the opposite. Marbani, I'm going to say, let's include Maisa Sheni. Marbani, Maisa Sheni, Sheyeshlo, the Gemara explains now. Marbani, Maisa Sheni, why am I including Maisa Sheni? Sheyeshlo Heter, Bechol Moshevos. Because there is actually a Heter to Maisa Sheni in the rest of the outside Yushalayim. What's the Heter? Kid Rabbi Eliezer, Umot and Bikurim. We'll see Rabbi Eliezer in just a second, and I'm going to exclude Bikurim, Shein Lehen Heter Bechol Moshe. You're not allowed to eat Bikurim anywhere. I'll say outside first, then we'll look at inside. Bikurim, there's no way to be poda. You can't redeem Bikurim. Whatever Bikurim are, whatever the first fruits are, Bikurim, they remain Bikurim forever, and you can't transfer them. Ma'isa Sheni, even though these are Ma'isa Shenis, I actually can redeem Ma'isa Sheni, and now put the Kedusha onto money, bring the money to Shlaim. But the food that was once Ma'isa Sheni is actually now Chulin, I can eat wherever I want. So there's a heter to take Ma'isa Sheni fruit and to eat it elsewhere. So that's what the Gemara explained. That's the difference between Ma'isa Sheni. So where do we see this? Dama Rebbe Eliezer, Minayin L'Ma'isa Sheni Shenitma Shepodin Oso Afilu B'Yushalayim. Normally, once you bring Ma'isa Sheni fruit to Yushalayim, it's usher to be poda. You can be poda outside, right? The pasuk talks about you can poda onto coins. It's much easier to schlep coins, a few dollar bills, than a basket of fruit. So you can poda outside. Once you've got it into Yushalayim, it's usher to be poda anymore. But if it becomes tame, if it's Ma'isa Sheni Shenitma Shepodin Oso Afilu B'Yushalayim, even within the cities where city walls of Yushalayim, you're allowed to. Tam Lomer says Kilo Suchal Se'eso. If you're not able to se'esa, what does se'esa mean? Ve'ein se'es ela achila. Achila is the word se'es means to eat. Shenemar says in the pasuk, Vayisa ma'ses meis. Part of they lifted the food in front of them. This is referring to actually when Yosef gave out the different foods to Binyamin and all the brothers of two parshas ago. So the word se'es means achila. So the pasuk says, Kilo suchal se'esa. If you're not allowed to eat it, so the pasuk goes on to say that's a heter of doing pidyum. So there's a heter pidyum once it becomes tamei. So since there exists such a heter, that ma'isa sheni fruit may be eaten outside of Yerushalayim, that's why we're coming to include that it works for mitzvah matzah, as opposed to bikurim, which cannot be eaten ever outside the walls of Yerushalayim. So either way, Saman Shmasle, who is the one who holds this brisa? Man Shmasle Damar b'ma'isa sheni nafik bay. Remember in Amun Aleph, we had a machlokas, can you use ma'isa sheni or can you not use ma'isa sheni for the mitzvah of matzah? And we had Rabbi Yosef Lili says you're not allowed to because b'chol moshev esav, because of ani, lechem oni, aninus, you therefore cannot use ma'isa sheni for matzah. Rabbi Kiva says no, lechem oni to exclude matzah shira. But Rabbi Kiva says you're allowed to use ma'isa sheni for matzah. So Rabbi Kiva is the author of this braisa here that allows ma'isa sheni to be used for matzah. And yet we still see that he's the one again, man shmasle da'amar b'ma'isa sheni nafik bay. That's Rabbi Kiva. And yet we say, kimimai le'li bikurim. And how does he exclude bikurim from the word mi'b'chol moshvo seichem? Not because of the connection of maror to matzah, like Rabbi Kiva initially had said, rather using the word b'chol moshvo seichem, shmamina hadar beis. We see from here Rabbi Kiva retracted to the reasoning of why it's allowed. So just to recap for a second, Rabbi Yosef Lili says ma'isa sheni cannot be used, nor can bikurim be used for mitzvah matzah. But Rabbi Kiva says ma'isa sheni can be used for matzah, and he agrees bikurim cannot be used for matzah. Gemara now says halfway down Amud Beis here. Rabbi Yosef Lili, tefik lei milachem oni. So why does he learn from lechem oni the following, that misha nechal b'oni yatzezet shein nechal ela b'simcha. So the din is, this is referring to why doesn't he learn the drasha, but bikurim, he learned bikurim from b'chol moshev seichem, but just like he said, lechem oni comes to exclude ma'isa sheni, that ma'isa sheni must be eaten b'simcha, bikurim also has to be eaten b'simcha. So that should be a different reason why Bikurim should be patur, because Bikurim cannot be lechem oni. You have to eat it besimcha. So why is he using another drasha of Bichol Moshe Sechem? Again, Rabbi Yosef Lili, who uses Bichol Moshe Sechem to exclude Bikurim from Matzah, typically milechem oni, that Misha nechel ba'oni, yatzezeh, yatzezeh Bikurim, shei nechel ela besimcha. So Rabbi Yosef Lili actually holds Savrla Krabi Shimon, who says you're allowed to, an onin actually can eat Bikurim. Kidatanya, Bikurim asurin le'onin, Rabbi Shimon matir. So since Rabbi Yosef Lili holds Bikurim may be eaten by an onin, he cannot exclude Bikurim from the word lechem oni. He therefore has to use Bechol Moshe Sechem to exclude Bikurim. So my time, and what's the reason why there's a machlokas, whether Bikurim is an asur to an onin or mutter to an onin? My time at the Rabbanim, who say that a Bikurim is asur to an onin. The Chassidut says in the pasuk, lo suchal lechol b'sharecha. You can't eat it in the sharecha. Now, the entire pasuk reads, I'm going to read the whole pasuk to you. Lo suchal lechol b'sharecha ma'isid degoncha v'sirojcha v'itzarcha u'b'choros b'karcha v'tzoncha v'chol nederecha asher tidor v'nivelsecha u'chumas yadecha. A whole slew of things that cannot be eaten by an onin. So one of the things listed here is chumas yadecha. So Gemara now darshan, that's the very end of the pasuk here. Lo suchal lechol b'sharecha v'amar mar. Chumas yadecha elu bikurim. Even though it calls it chuma, it's actually referring to bikurim. The iskish bikurim lemeiser ma meiser aser leonin af bikurim aser leonin. We have a hekish here of bikurim to meiser. That's the hekish. So just like we have, one second here, just like we have that meiser is aser to an ani, so to an onin, so to bikurim is aser to an ani. That's what it means. Chumas yadecha. It's a reference to bikurim. That's how the Tanakhama understands. Rabbi Shimon Chuma Karinan Rachmana, the pasuk says, no, we're calling Bikurim Chuma. It's called Chuma, right? Chuma's Yadecha. So it's really Kachuma. Ma Chuma Mutaris La'onin Af Bikurim Mutar La'onin. Right? The word Chuma's Yadecha, everybody agrees, refers to Bikurim. But when it refers to Bikurim, what's it connecting Bikurim to? So according to Rabbi Shimon, it's much simpler. The word Chuma is being used to refer to Bikurim. So Bikurim and Chuma are equated. Chuma can be eaten by an onin, so too Bikurim can be eaten by an onin. But according to the Tanakhama, they felt Chumas Yadech was actually referring to Ma'is Sheni, which is also removed by Yadech, by separating something, and really it's connecting Bikurim to Ma'is Sheni. So the Machlokas is Bikurim connected to Ma'is Sheni, and therefore Aser to an onin, or is Bikurim connected to Chuma, and therefore Mutter to an onin? That's the Machlokas between Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. So Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon responds back. Again, Rabbi Shimon is one who holds that an onin can eat Bikurim. So Rabbi Shimon, nehid the hekesh, less light, granted. Okay, Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of the hekesh, doesn't hold the hekesh of Chuma, Bikurim to Meiser, Sheni, and that's why he allows Bikurim to be eaten by an onin. But nonetheless, Simcha, Mia, Michsa, Ksivebehu. But it clearly says Simcha in the context of Bikurim. So fine, Bikurim is not connected to Meiser Sheni. Fine, he doesn't have such a hekesh. But the world, the psukim themselves about Bikurim, it says, Dichsiv, V'samachta b'chalatov. So you have to be a Besimcha when you're having Bikurim. Bikurim is a whole big festival. Actually, when the farmers would come down, they have these fancy baskets, and the din, the Mishnah says, you're supposed to stand up for the farmers to show them honor and kavod, that they're doing a very special mitzvah. It's a whole presentation. So you have to have V'samachta b'chalatov. So from that pasuk alone, should that not indicate that Bikurim must be eaten Besimcha, and Onein is asur to eat Bikurim? And the Gemara says, "Hahu lizman simcha hudasu." That's telling me about when Bikurim is chayiv, but not telling me how one eats it. What does it mean, the zman of the simcha? The Tanan, the Mishnah tells us, "Me'atzeres v'alachag mevi v'korei, me'achag v'adchanaka mevi v'enukorei." There's a din when you bring Bikurim. There are two mitzvahs. One is to bring to the Kohanim. Number two is that Bikurim, you have to have it accompanied by what's called mikra Bikurim. There's vidur meiser. Parsha Kisavo has the mitzvah of vidur meiser. When you bring Ma'aser Sheni, there's a whole testimony, you say. And then there's also Mikra Bikurim. When you bring Bikurim, you have a whole Mikra, a whole statement. So when it comes to Mikra Bikurim, sometimes you just bring the Bikurim without the statement. Sometimes you bring it with the statement. So from the time period between Atzeres, which is Shavuos, until Chag, until Sukkos, that's Mevi V'Korei. Why is Mevi V'Korei? Because it's time of a Simcha. When you're collecting all your fruit, you're besimcha. The farmer, he's collecting it now, all his fruits grew, they're ready, they're ripe, he can eat it. So he's very excited, so he not only does he bring it to the Kohen, but he also has the mikra bikurim. But after the point of from Sukkot to Chanukah, where there's no longer, you're not collecting any fresh fruit anymore. Everything's now done, and it's raining, and it's cold out, there's nothing else available. So you bring the bikurim that you have, but you're not in the state of simcha, because you're not harvesting the food right now. So there's only mitzvah of mevi, veinikore. So that's what we learn from the pasuk of Bechol, v'smachta Bechol Tov, in terms of the zman of Mikra Bikurim, but nothing to do with how one actually eats it, and therefore Rabbi Shimon still stands strong that an onen may eat Bikurim, while, and then for that reason, he has to fall back on the pasuk Lechem Oni, cannot exclude Bikurim, rather he has to fall back on Bechol Moshe Seichem to exclude Bikurim from the mitzvah of Matzah. Gemara now says, last three narrow lines of the Amud here, Taner Rabbanim. Lechem Oni, when it says Lechem Oni, that's the poor man's bread, Lechalot v'lashisha. Lachalot, they used to boil the water. Lashisha is Rashi says, gluska, gedola, a large person should not make a large matzah. These things are excluded. Because lechem oni means a very simple, small bread, broken bread, but to have it boiled and all fancy or very, very large, that's excluded from the pasuk lechem oni. So Gemara says, Yachal, lo yatra adam yidei chavasa ela bepas hadra. Pas hadra means hadar, like hidr, beautiful. It's a lachi, it's a lashon saginar. It really means a very weak piece of bread, a very poor bread. So that means is one might think, since it has to be lechem oni, it has to be the worst type of bread possible, which means there's no sifting. It has all the waste involved. Whatever comes to grinding the wheat, you have to sift it afterwards. Maybe you should not even sift it. Whatever's there remains there. Maybe that's the worst type of bread you should have. Tamalomer matzos ribo. No, we're more inclusive. It doesn't have to be the worst type of bread, but can't be the fanciest type of bread either. Vafilu ke mitzvah Shlomo, matzah Shlomo. You could have even nice bread like Shlomo had. Imkain, if that's the case, matamalor lechem oni. Lechem oni comes to exclude you. Only have a poor man's bread. So where do you draw the line? So Gemara said, we draw the line as lachlor v'lashisha, the fanciest breads, which is the boiled bread and maybe the bagels or the big bread. That's where we exclude from matzah. But everything beneath that satisfies the definition of lechem oni. So then the Gemara says, my mashma the high ashisha lishne dechashivasa. We said above that lechem oni excludes this ashisha bread, which is a large piece of bread. Where do you see the word ashisha actually means lashon chashivas? Gemara quotes a pasuk, "Vayichalik l'chol ha'am l'chol ha'mon Yisrael." They divide up, they divvied out to all members of Klal Yisrael. L'meish v'ishah, from man to woman. L'ish chalas lechem achas ve'eshbar echad v'ashisha achas v'gomer. So it's talking about a particular shear, a particular size. V'ashisha is a very large size of bread. So based on that pasuk, we see ashisha is a lashon chashivas, a lashon of a gluska gedola. Comes along now, Amar of Achan and Bar Abba, Ashvar Echad Mishisha Bepar. Ashisha Echad Mishisha Be'efa, these are different measurements. And again, Ashisha is a very large measurement, which indicates a Lashon of Chashivas. And finally, the Gemara says, Opliga de Shmuel. Shmuel argues, Amar Shmuel, Ashisha Garba the Chamer. He thinks Ashisha has nothing to do with the size of bread, rather, it's referring to a goblet or a glass of wine. The Chsev of Havi Ashisha Anavim, that the glass is full of grapes, so grapes are full of wine, nothing at all to do with bread. So let's do a quick review. We start off on Amar Aleph telling us of Machlokas of Yosef Lili and Rabbi Kiva, whether or not one can use Maisha Sheni for matzah or not. Either it's lechem oni to exclude aninus, that one cannot use ma'aseh sheni, or lechem ani is referring to matzah shira, and you can then use ma'aseh sheni. That was one point. Then we had a whole discussion whether or not you're allowed to use lechem ashira or not. We had a machlokas, according to one opinion, says you're not allowed to. The other opinion says you are allowed to. And the difference is that first night, you should not have lechem ashira, but the remaining night, Rabbi Kiva says you are allowed to have lechem ashira. We spoke about, although maybe you can't knead it with different types of oil, honey, and wine, you could maybe rub the outside of the matzah with it. Then we discuss about the differences between menachos, that the menachos, which are done in the Makom Zrizis, so you're allowed to use potion. You could use warm water, even though normally by Pesach you can't use warm water, because it's done by Zrizim. We spoke at Lesisa will not be allowed because it's done not by Makom Zrizim. The exception would be the Minchas Omer, which is done by a carbon sieber, by the Bezin. Then we had a machlokes about Bikurim, whether Bikurim are acceptable or not. And Rabbi Kiva had the drasha from Maror to Matzah, which we ended up rejecting. Rabbi Yosef Glili had the drasha of Bechol Moshe Seichem, is the reason why Bikurim are possible. Then we proved how Rabbi Kiva retracted and he agreed to the reason for excluding Bikurim is based on the words of Bechol Moshe Seichem. And then we had the last discussion about whether Bikurim themselves, in general, is Asertin Onin or not Asertin Onin, and that was based on this discussion of the connection of Truma Sedecha, whether that is referring to Truma, which is Mutter to Onin, or it's referring to Maisa Sheni, which is Asertin Onin, and that would dictate the din by Bikurim. And then we finish up by saying the lechem oni comes to exclude the lachlot. Now shishi, this boiled type of matzah, and this big type of matzah. Okay, we'll stop here. Mr. Shimon, continue tomorrow.